Today, my dear faithful, is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This past Wednesday, my dear faithful, February 2nd, was the Feast of the Purification of Our Lady. This was the occasion when Our Lady and Our Lord went to the Temple of Jerusalem to follow the prescripts of the law of the Old Testament. You see, the law of Moses required that 40 days after a first son was born, the mother was to go to the temple to undergo the ritual of purification and to offer her firstborn son to God the Father. Of course, Our Lady, being free from sin, needed no purification, but she was perfectly obedient. Following the law then to the letter, the Immaculate Virgin went to be purified. At this time, she offered her son, the Christ child, to God the Father. Centuries later, in the late 13th century to be exact, there lived a saintly Franciscan tertiary. And this particular tertiary was named Blessed Angela of Foligno. And it happened on one feast of the Purification that Blessed Angela was meditating on this event in Our Lady's life. And then suddenly she received a vision of that day. In this vision, she found herself in the midst of the temple. It was as if she were there in the temple, surrounded by the massive stone walls all around her, and the temple's white and gold walls shining in the morning light. Blessed Angela looked about her and saw a woman walking through the courtyard holding a child in her arms. Something inside her told her that this woman was the Blessed Mother, holding the Christ child. Blessed Angela was, of course, taken aback to be standing in Mary's and Jesus' presence. Our Lady, though, saw her hesitation, and in her sweet, motherly way, went directly to her. Smiling at her, the Blessed Mother held out the Christ child to her, saying, "Thou who lovest my divine Son so much, come and take him from me." Mary then placed the infant Savior into Angela's arms. At first, still stunned with awe, Blessed Angela looked in wonder at Our Lady. Finally, she looked down and she took the Christ child and held him in her arms. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, the infant seemed to be peacefully sleeping in her arms. But then his eyes opened and he looked directly into Angela's eyes. He looked lovingly upon her as she heard the words, "I have come to you that you may offer yourself to me." Immediately, Angela did as Christ requested of her and offered herself to him. Somehow, as she put it, she knew that the offering was most pleasing. Now, in today's gospel, my dear faithful, our Lord tells the parable of the wheat and the cockle. A man sowed good seed in his field, but an enemy came and sowed cockle, that is, a weed, into the field. Soon the crops began to grow, and all could see the weeds that grew among the wheat. The owner of the field commanded his servants to allow both the wheat and the weeds to grow alongside one another. He feared that if they tried to root out the cockle, the wheat would be rooted out along with it, and his whole crop destroyed. Since the wheat and cockle were growing together, they would leave it for the harvest time, for the good to be sifted and the bad separated from it. That is all contained in today's gospel. But if you continue reading the same chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, you will see that the apostles asked our Lord for an explanation of it. Our Lord then told them that the owner of the field represents God Almighty. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the elect of God, those in the state of grace. The enemy is the devil, who by temptation plants the seed of mortal sins in souls. God allows both the wheat, the just souls, and the cockle, the unjust, to live together. He does this in order to leave their free will truly free. God does not force us to do good, nor does he immediately destroy those who do evil. He gives sufficient grace to all so that they may be saved. But God leaves to each soul the choice of following that grace. In this way, he ensures that those souls who do follow him follow on account of a free love for him. It will be only at the end time, when the time for choice is over and all this world comes to an end, that is when the wheat and the cockle, the just and the unjust, will be sifted, sorted, and separated. The unjust will go to be burned in the eternal fires of hell, while the just will be rewarded. And these righteous souls will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father for all eternity. However, in this parable, my dear faithful, there is something a little bit lacking, as with every analogy. What is missing from it is the care with which God, the owner of the field, watches over each individual plant, that is, each individual soul. With the love of a father, he follows each soul from the cradle to his deathbed. At every thought, every word, every action, our Lord is there, watching over and guiding that soul. With infinite care and love, he calls the soul to him through grace, so that each soul may love him and share in the glories of heaven. And when they reject him, what sorrow he suffers at the loss of that soul. To show us what this does to him, he revealed to mankind through St. Margaret Mary his most sacred heart. Each part of this sacred heart, each aspect with which it is represented, speaks of our Lord's love for us. The flames bursting forth symbolizes directly his love for us. And so great is it that his human heart cannot contain its ardor. His charity for us cannot help but express itself in order to draw our hearts to have charity or love for him. The cross that rises out of the Sacred Heart reminds us of all the pains he suffered for us during his passion. And surrounding his heart, the heart of our God, there is a wreath of thorns piercing it on all sides. Each thorn buried in his heart is a symbol of the sorrow that we cause him every time we sin. With each venial sin, it is as if we take a thorn and we press it into the heart of our God. Mortal sins, on the other hand, are not thorns. They are spears plunged into our Lord's Sacred Heart. That is why there is the open spear wound on the side of our Lord's heart. This is because at each deliberate sin, we say to him, to the infinite God who created us and holds us in existence, to the divine Redeemer who died on the cross to save us, we say to him, I do not care about you. I care more for this thing, this person, this pleasure, more than you. That, my dear faithful, does infinite violence to the heart of our God. And yet, our Savior willingly offered himself as a victim so that he could win souls to love him. Souls who do turn to him, my dear faithful, who do love him and live their lives following his law, they are such a comfort to him. They are the reason the Son of God chose to become man and to die such a death as that of the cross. They are the dearly beloved, the elect of God, the righteous who will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Every moment of every day, our Savior is with each soul, guiding each one, strengthening each one, leading each one to himself. By these means, he presents himself to them in order that they may offer themselves to him, just as he offered himself to Blessed Angela. And the soul that does follow him, that turns away from sin and turns to him, he looks so lovingly upon them. For that joy, for that return of love, he willingly shed every drop of his precious blood. Even when he was a little child, he willingly offered himself, as he did on the Feast of the Purification, to suffer and to die for us. He willingly offered himself as the victim for mankind's redemption. The thorns and spears of sin that pierce his sacred heart every day, these are the sufferings that God allows in order to win those few souls who will love him and be a comfort for his sacred heart. And so, my dear faithful, I urge you to be one of those souls. Be a comfort to the sacred heart of our God in this world, where so many of those very souls for whom he died turn against him and are his enemies. Have a determination to be one of those just that make a return of love to the God who has shown such love for you. Every day, renew your determination to live your life for God. By that I mean, have a firm resolution to follow the law of God, fulfilling the duties of your state in life, and keeping yourself in the state of grace. Renew this determination at specific times each day, such as at your morning prayers or at your daily rosary. And to help you carry it out, frequent the sacraments and Mass, and avoid the near occasions of sin. Remember, my dear faithful, our Lord is with you every moment, helping you live in the state of grace. Each day, be like Blessed Angela, and offer yourself to our God, to live your life for him, just as Christ offered himself to you. Be a comfort to his most sacred heart, by living a truly good Catholic life, striving to persevere in the state of grace, and you can have the utmost confidence that you will receive the reward of everlasting happiness in heaven. For never forget, my dear faithful, that the one and only thing that really matters is that we love God, and that we save our immortal souls. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.